What's better to have, a stupid mouth or a smart mouth? Because we're always getting slapped for having smart mouths. So is it better to have a stupid mouth?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, in the eyes of other people, no one likes a smart mouth.
That's true. They all like stupid mouths. They want mouths to be lower IQs than usual.
Yeah. Slow your rolls, stupid mouth.
Citizens of Earth, welcome to Accelerative Thrust. I'm Dan,
and I'm still Eric.
and I'm still Dan too, as far as I know. You know, every time we do an episode now, Eric, it feels like forever since the last time we did an episode.
Yeah, it does.
There's always
and our listenership reflects that.
Yeah.
I don't even think people know we're making this show anymore.
They're like, where are these guys?
I don't know what's going on, but people don't like us anymore. That's
our
the numbers prove that. Like, it really might just be you and I right now listening to this.
Yeah, that very well could be.
Well, that's okay. That's you know, that's why we do it.
And yeah, we do
for
it
for us.
We do it for fun.
Oh yeah, for fun. That's what I meant.
Yeah. That's what it is. Fun. Let's just go with that, shall we?
Yeah. Hey guys, we're just doing this for fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Well, anyway, not that you should pay attention to the numbers, because
or anything that we're talking about here,
right?
Yeah. You know, we're just rambling.
You know what? Just go ahead and download the episode or stream it, and then turn it off. I don't really care if you if you listen to it. I need these numbers, man.
What you just said is like the digital equivalent of when like all of those protesters bought NWA records and then burned them.
Oh yeah.
Eazy-E was like,
right,
you know what? They can do whatever they want. They bought them. The only difference is NWA was making money when people were shutting their music off.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So what we need to do, we need to figure out a way to make money when people aren't listening.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I just think the goal of the show just changed drastically. You know, we just want to make money. We don't care if you listen. That's our new approach.
That's what it is. We just want to make money. We don't care if you listen. I am going to have to say though, for what it's worth, there has been a lot of really great music coming out in 2024. And I am going to say that like so far, the first 3 months of 2024 have been better for music, I think, than the last like 3 years.
Whoa.
In my opinion, like
bold
I think
statement, guys.
A lot of things have come out in the past 3 months that have literally blown my mind.
Whoa.
A lot of things, and I don't know what it is. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention as much as much in 2023 and 2022. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of stuff that blew my mind, you know, in the past 5 years. But I don't know, man. The first 3 months of 2024 for me has been super promising.
Nice.
Have you felt any of that same sentiment at all, Eric?
You know, I got to be honest. I have so many albums in my library that I need to listen to that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I have so many from 2024 that I still need to listen to. Yeah.
So here's something that I kind of thought about. So the last 2 or 3 years, I kind of used that method where I was looking for stuff like, and just kind of being like, okay, I'm going to put this in my library. And then I ended up with like a whole stack of like records that I didn't end up listening to, or just got to like really late, like the following year or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I've been kind of doing this year is I've sort of been going with like each month I'll find like 3 or 4 releases that really sound appealing to me, you know? And then I'll put those on, and then I'll put those in a playlist, and then I'll just kind of like listen to those on repeat, because what I was, mm-hmm. what I found that I was doing in previous years was I was listening to like records once or twice and then moving on to the next thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now I'm kind of like listening to things on repeat and getting cool. more, I feel like I'm becoming more familiar with the records that I'm choosing to review.
Yeah.
And, so it's almost like a, less is more philosophy this year.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, I don't know why I decided to go that route this year.
I get it. It's overwhelming to have 10,000 things to listen to.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so,
yeah,
that's, I think that's maybe why I'm feeling that way too, is I'm just sort of like, well, I guess like it, there's no better way to put it than the stuff that I'm picking is the stuff that I'm just like, okay, this sounds really good, you know? And then I don't know, my instincts have been working this year. So
nice.
I don't know. That's
I got to do something, because I have, let me see. I'm going to find the real number. 100 million albums in my library that,
what? No, you don't.
No,
you're,
I don't.
But, you're lying, dude.
I am lying.
No, for a second, I was like, wait a minute, what? 100 million records.
I bet there are 100, though, actually.
I wonder how many records.
That's too many.
You have 100 records is what you're
saying? I probably do.
Okay, that sounds more reasonable.
That's overwhelming. I need to just.
It is overwhelming.
And some of them are stupid. Some of them are dumb. Like I heard 10 seconds of, I don't know, the song Born Again from the album Born Again by Black Sabbath. I've never listened to the album. Then that's in my albums. Like things like that. Like, so now, you know, someone said you should listen to AFI. So I have a couple of those in there. And it's like, it mostly is old stuff. Then I have amazing things like, Ghost Brain by Buck Guder, the record that came out last year. Oh my God. Amazing.
It's a great record. Yeah.
And we haven't reviewed it. And it's almost just sitting in my library.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bring Buck Guder up today again, believe it or not.
And I bet I know why.
Reviews.
I can kind of see why.
Oh, actually. Okay.
I'm guessing in my mind what specific album that we are going to review that you're going to bring the reference to Buck Guder, and I can see it. Since we're talking about music in 2024, we should get to those records,
man. All right, let's get to them.
Come on, everybody, it's record time. All right, so my pick for this episode is from a band called Cheekface, and the name of this record is It's Sordid. Cheekface are a band from LA. They consist of Greg Katz on guitar and vocals, Amanda Tanner on bass and backup vocals, Mark Edwards on drums. And then they have what I assume to be some traveling live musicians and maybe some studio musicians on the record. And the reason why I say that is because I've seen live performances of them on YouTube, and they're definitely was more than three people up there. So I don't know, maybe they have a touring second guitar player or something like that. Not sure who that is, but this record is awesome. Pretty much from the moment I heard this band, which was last year on a KEXP segment, I at first was just really intrigued by them because they had a sound that I couldn't quite nail. It totally reminded me of some stuff I heard, but then totally sounded new and fresh. And I think that that's really where this album sort of lies with me. In all honesty, I'm not going to spill the beans. Like I had mentioned, Eric, 2024 so far has been a really good year for music to my ear. But I mean, it's really early to declare this, but so far, this has been my album of the year. So far.
Nice.
So there's a few places where this record kind of goes. On one hand, it's very kind of upbeat and almost sounds, I don't know, like it sounds like something you listen to kind of get through the day. But on the other hand, it also seems very kind of satirical, and they're is some pretty dark and apocalyptic content lyrically. The way that I kind of, the sort of feeling I get from this record is it addresses a lot of societal problems and social problems, even economic problems. So there is a little bit of politics in it, for lack of a better way to describe it. But then it's also kind of like, well, these things are going on, but there's kind of a little element of sort of fuck it along with it as well. Like, I'm still gonna push through. And I'm gonna kind of make the best of the situation. And so that's where kind of maybe the upbeat sort of aspect comes along. It sort of like addresses like societal problems, while also like just sort of, okay, well, this is happening while I'm doing like normal things in life, like getting ready for work or whatever. It stays really consistent musically throughout. You know, the vocals are, I kind of think, really what makes this sort of stand out. It's almost spoken word in some ways. It's definitely, I can see where it could be kind of an acquired taste, but I think it kind of has a lot of room to grow on you as well. To me, Greg sounds a lot like John Linnell in some parts. There's the music hits on, you know, a lot of different things like indie rock, a little bit of funk, definitely some groovy stuff there, a little bit of punk. You know, there's even like, I don't know, elements of kind of like proggy stuff in there as well. The guitar, bass, and drums, they all sync up really, really well. And there's another element that I really like about this is it's very catchy and very fun to listen to, but there is at least, I feel like, an element of experimentation or an interest in experimentation sonically. That's where I would actually recommend that you listen to this on like headphones, because there's a lot of weird sounds that kind of pop up just sort of out of nowhere randomly. And I think that makes it really, really fun and interesting. And as far as the They Might Be Giants sort of connection, in my mind anyway, it really, the way that they play the instruments, like they use the guitar, bass, and drums, all the live instruments, in the same way that They Might Be Giants kind of used like the drum machines in the first two records, which is like choppy sort of in a way, but in like the best way possible. Yeah, it definitely addresses a lot of anxieties and fears of kind of growing up. But at the same time, I think that there's sort of like this insistence on sort of laughing about it, or just sort of like saying living is kind of absurd. That's what I kind of got out of it. And that's definitely the kind of humor that I can relate to. So for me, this record is very, very relatable. As far as the stuff it reminds me of, I already mentioned They Might Be Giants 100%. Like I said, I think Greg's vocals sound a lot like Linnell's. I think definitely there's a Talking Heads sort of element here. I think Cake, for sure. Modest Mouse, especially like the later Modest Mouse. There's even like an element of like Weezer and Vampire Weekend. And yeah, very catchy choruses and a really fun album. What did you think, Eric?
Yeah, I agree that this definitely fits in with a pretty specific kind of sound. Yeah, I really liked it. And I think that for me, sometimes things that are a little more novel, it's harder for me to get into. But how I felt about this at the end of listening to the record versus the beginning was pretty different. So I just wanted to say that, because I know, you know, maybe some of our listeners are the same way, and I would push them to listen to the whole thing if they're going to check this out. So yeah, Cheek Face. I think it's, like I said, very like novel, really goofy, but I do think that, like you said, there's, I don't know, it's poignant in its absurdity. Like, it's making a point to point out that absurdity
And at times that is really funny, and at other times it can be kind of thought-provoking or even slightly dark, like Dan said. But yeah, I agree that the music, like the voice and the singing, is what's happening. I think that it kind of feels like the music is a delivery system for the singing. It's talk singing for the most part, and that's cool. You mentioned Linnell. I agree with that too. But also John McRae from Cake, big time, you know, a combination there. But yeah, overall, it becomes, I think, more varied, more interesting as the album goes on. And there might be a level of that that's just me getting used to the sound and find it, digging deeper while I listen, instead of having sort of an instant reaction like I did at the beginning of the album. So I don't know if the album actually does kind of open up and change a lot as it goes on, or if that was my perception. You know, that's an impossible thing to prove either way. But yeah, the music for the most part, I think, is made up of like fairly standard rock instrumentation. Like if you're listening, a lot of times you're hearing drums, bass, guitar, but it's very like separated and sparse. But really a full sound too. It's kind of jangly, but also kind of rigid too. So lots of different approaches musically. My favorite parts of the music were the female vocals and the synthesizers. I think both of those things added a lot of depth to what was happening. But yeah, I do think this falls kind of in with other, I don't want to say novelty groups, because I know that is a terrible thing to say, but it's kind of like saying pop or pop punk. Like these are descriptors that we use because they're the closest thing we can come up with. So I don't mean any disrespect by using that term, but other sort of novelty adjacent groups, you know, it's really clever, quirky, light and fun, but also with some, you know, social commentary, sort of existential questions and things like that are worked in to what's happening. I wonder what the live show is like, because I can see them possibly having like this huge following where everyone knows every word, and while they're performing and everyone's speaking and singing along the whole time. And so that would be really fun to see as well. But yeah, I thought it was really cool, and it's not something I would generally seek out, but upon listening to it, like I said, by the end of it, I was like, wow, they really tried some stuff out. This went a lot of places, not just sonically, but mentally. Like, it's pretty cerebral stuff. And so I would suggest listening to it a couple of times, because you're probably going to miss half of the things that are being said. It's quick and it's quirky. But yeah, things that it reminded me of, or for fans of, I mean, Dan already mentioned a bunch of these things, but I'm just going to go through them. And through this list, you're going to notice exactly how I heard this. So I'll let it speak for itself. First and foremost was Cake in the vocal delivery, but also the use of synths and keyboards and trumpet and sort of the syncopated, funky, rhythmic elements. I really did feel like there was a lot of Cake in this. The Presidents of the United States of America, mostly like lyrical content and delivery. And that's when they rocked, they rocked. So
great comparison.
Yeah. I got a few. They Might Be Giants, you already mentioned. Talking Heads, you already mentioned. I would also add in there Jonathan Richman, mostly for the vocal delivery parts. The Bastard, who was an Iowa City artist. Now I think he's in Arizona, but if you like The Bastard, this is along the same lines. This is a weird one, but The Buggles, no one ever listens to The Buggles except me. But if by some chance you accidentally overheard The Buggles once, this might remind you of that. And The Rentals, actually, with the approach to the vocal parts, as far as the female vocal parts. So yeah, lots of different things there. And like I said, I enjoyed it a lot. I will say from the jump, I was like, oh, I don't think this is my kind of stuff. But by the end of it, I I understood a little more of what was happening and enjoyed it quite a lot.
Heaven or heck, eat the rich food. Halftime breakdowns, chopped and screwed. Pruning shears, cutting liberty spikes on the hedges of my mind. This is so inclusive. I feel so included. If you got plugs and gauges, you are welcome in our spaces. I got friends in crowded places. We're not much for social graces. We are social dissidents. We do not send condolences. And I hate to send mixed messages. I love to send mixed messages. I hate to send mixed messages. I love to send mixed messages. There was so much time I spent rent-free. In my mind, I was radically transparent, then I reverted to the mean. But there were changes in the hardcore scene. There was so much time I spent rent-free. In my mind, I was radically transparent, then I reverted to the mean. But there were changes in the hardcore scene.
Yeah, and the presidents of the United States of America covered the Buggles video, Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, you're right. Wow.
The Buggles' first album with video, Killed the Radio Stars, might be one of the most underrated 80s new wave releases.
Yeah, ever. I think that, I think I would agree with that. What's it called? The Age of Plastic?
Age of Plastic. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is really good stuff.
Well, so my pick this week is by a group called Northern Liberties. The album's called Self-Dissolving Abandoned Universe. It came out in 2023. So Northern Liberties is from Philadelphia, and actually Northern Liberties is the name of a neighborhood in Philadelphia, I think, is what I discovered. But Northern Liberties is made up of Justin Duer on vocals and percussion, Mark Duer on drum set, and Kevin Riley on bass. So what originally brought me to looking into Northern Liberties was Justin Duer is, I don't want to say the star, but they focus a lot on him in my favorite documentary ever. It's called Resurrect Dead. And Resurrect Dead is about these things called the Toynbee tiles. They're these tiles that are embedded into the asphalt in tons of places, mostly around the East Coast, and but all the way down to South America and all over the country. And what they say in general is Toynbee idea in movie 2001, Resurrect Dead on planet Jupiter. And for the longest time, and maybe even still, no one knew who was embedding these tiles into asphalt or how they were doing it. The documentary goes into great detail about that, and I'm sorry to go off. This has nothing to do necessarily with the music, but it's a phenomenal documentary, a really cool sort of urban legend. And like I said, Justin Duer is featured in that quite a lot. And also, I ordered a Buck Guder t-shirt that happened to be drawn or illustrated by Justin Duer. So I think he seems like a cool guy, and so I wanted to check out his band, and I'm glad I did. It's right. Pretty wild stuff, honestly. Yeah, it's really like weighty. I don't know how to say that. It has a lot of like weight to it. I would call it overall noise rock, but yeah, it's really cool stuff. It goes everywhere. The only way I can think of it, it's like not only comfortable with being weird, but it thrives there. It lives there. It can only be weird. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't weird. And so I think that's a lot of fun. Like when that's sort of the goal is push boundaries, I think this is the kind of music you come up with. But yeah, it goes a lot of unexpected places and sort of like perilous feeling places musically, like the whole thing's going to fall apart at any second. And maybe it does sometimes. But sometimes it comes back to this solid core of the bass and the drums. Like that part is always keeping the whole thing together, even if it starts to spiral out and get really wild. Like I said, the percussion is really heavy and the bass is right there with it. Like, it's just a really heavy, solid core. And I don't mean heavy like heavy metal. I mean heavy like solid. Just like I said, it has some weight to it. But also it's very sparse at times, and it allows itself to sort of blossom and grow, and also, like I said, kind of fall apart at times. Really psychedelic with the vocal processing. I would say overall, it's pretty dark in tone and content, but also very energetic. Energetic more than aggressive, if that makes sense. I think the level of effects on the vocals and sort of the unexpected melodic and calm moments keeps it from seeming like an aggressive statement. It's more just like a emotional kind of heaviness. I don't know how to say that exactly, but it's not angry, I guess is the easiest way I could say it, or doesn't seem to be angry, more just like expressive. The vocals are delivered mostly in a shouted manner, sometimes sort of atonal, but it makes every track feel very emotive, very genuine. Like, I don't doubt for a second that this group is saying and producing exactly what they want it to be. And I think the emotional part of it is a big element of what they're trying to do here. I think the production is really great. Everything is crystal clear, separated, which is pretty amazing for the level of chaos that's happening at points, because it could be very muddy with all the overlapping noise that is happening at times. It was recorded by Steve Albini at Electrical Audio, which I'm sure helped to separate those things sonically. Those things were considered, and you can hear it. But yeah, I don't have a lot else to say, except I thought this was really cool. And when I started to list things that it sort of reminded me of or for fans of, I was thinking, man, I hope Dan really likes this, because he likes a lot of the things that I think this sounds like. So yeah, things that I would sort of compare it to, Public Image Limited. And that has a lot to do with not just the drumming and bass. Like, when you listen to Flowers of Romance or whatever, that's the Martin Atkins drumming is very present, but also the way that the vocals are delivered, really reminiscent of John Lydon, I think. Someone might disagree with that, but other things that reminded me of, Daisy Chainsaw, who I don't think gets enough love either, but it sort of had that feel to it. I felt a big Swans presence, Ministry, No Means No, Fugazi, Big Black / Shellac. Yeah, just, you know, that kind of thing, like kind of like lightning bolt kind of feel sometimes, you know. But yeah, I had a lot of fun listening to it. I found it to be really mysterious and cool. And maybe that's me bringing some of that Toynbee Tiles stuff to the thinking. But yeah, it felt like it was about some sort of archaic knowledge that Northern Liberties is trying to let us in on. So yeah, what do you think, Dan?
Well, I loved it. And so you were right about that, Eric. What's interesting is, in a lot of ways, I think we heard it similarly, but in other ways, I think I definitely heard things radically different.
Oh, nice.
So this is kind of interesting, because I agree with your assessment of all the noise rock sort of bands that you mentioned. I think that definitely applies here for sure. Now, sonically, this is definitely one of the most interesting records I've heard. Just like the Cheekface record, I also recommend listening to this on headphones. Mm-hmm. For me, I maybe heard a little bit more metal than you did, because for me, this was definitely a combination of 90s, 2000s era. The best way for me to describe it would be like alternative metal, because I definitely feel like it's, and it also kind of depends on what you consider alternative metal too, because on one hand, you could say alternative metal is Limp Bizkit, you know what I mean? But on the, mm-hmm. which is definitely not what I think this was by any stretch of the imagination. But on the other hand, you could also say Helmet is alternative metal, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. Or even like Rollins Band or whatever, but I'll get to that. But here's the thing. And this is where I strongly agree with you, Eric. It's got a lot of key elements of metal to me, but it's not quite there. It has a lot more in common with noise rock than metal, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that your assessment of this being more noise rock for sure is spot on, because that's definitely how I viewed this, more so than, like, I wouldn't call this a metal album by any means. And the thing that I really liked about it is the instrumentation. The guitar and bass, I feel, were just really, really tight and kind of tightly controlled. But then I feel like the drums and the percussive element had kind of a looseness to them that mm-hmm. really combined together, created something that was really interesting and made it stand out. There were times where the drums were very like tribal and percussive. And I think that there was probably a lot of different percussion instruments besides just your, you know, snare and floor tom and cymbals and what have you. And then just all of that coming together, it just sounds great. The performance is amazing. The one thing that really makes this record stand out to me more than anything, though, is the vocals. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, for this style of music, the vocalist has a really, really unique voice. What did you say his name was, Eric?
Justin Dewar, I think is how you pronounce his last name. Yeah.
Justin Dewar. Yeah. He has a really, really unique voice that sometimes kind of goes from like a almost something that maybe is a little more metal, but to me, he's got kind of this high pitched sort of voice that is also very quirky and kind of does this like weird sort of warbly sound, I guess, which really mm-hmm. kind of reminds me a lot of like Mark Arm from Mudhoney, mm-hmm. Meets maybe Chris Cornell a little bit. And so I think that's really where this stands out, on top of it musically just not being a straight metal band. It definitely is more, I guess, more adventurous or more just experimental and weird, like you said, Eric, mm-hmm. than what you would expect from just a straightforward metal album. But I absolutely loved it. And I had no idea that that Justin Dewar was part of that documentary, because I've seen that documentary before, and it's really, really fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. You know, there's something about Philadelphia bands. Mm-hmm. I've kind of, it sort of seems like Philadelphia bands are kind of interested in sort of standing out a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every band I've heard from Philadelphia, whether it be like Me Without You or something like that, they're not quite like the thing that they sort of get lumped into, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, Philadelphia bands are just, I got to shout out Philadelphia, not only for the cheesesteaks, but for the music. But anyway, now I'm getting off track talking about food. Mm. So Northern Liberties, Self-Dissolving Abandoned Universe. I really like that title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a winner, man. So the stuff it reminded me of, and like I said, I want to preface this by saying I agree with every selection that Eric said. But for me, this reminded me of Soundgarden, but early, more so early Soundgarden, Melvins, the way that this band sort of approaches the music and the weirdness of it. This reminded me a lot of Melvins. Caius, because especially the vocals, those vocals, that's another vocalist that I would say this vocalist sort of reminded me of, was the singer of Caius. I would say, now this is kind of a weird one that might puzzle you a little bit, Eric, but mm-hmm. Anthrax. Mm-hmm. And the Anthrax era that I'm specifically talking about is the John Bush era, like Sound of White Noise.
Okay.
as opposed to like Among the Living or something.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Reminds me kind of that a little bit. The Butthole Surfers, there's the noise rock sort of element coming in. Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk was kind of, I wouldn't say this really sounds like Harvey Milk, but I would say that Harvey Milk was similar in approach, in that almost kind of metal, but not quite there sort of thing. And definitely an experimental side to him. Today Is the Day. That's another situation where it's like not quite metal, noise rock for sure. Boris a little bit, certain Boris records, not everything that Boris put out. And then, yeah, I would also definitely say Fugazi, and particularly because of the bass lines. Bass lines definitely had like a Joe Lally feel to me for sure. So yeah, overall, I really like this. I think we definitely heard things slightly different, but also quite the same as well.
Yeah.
Local pick today.
Keep it local.
Band from Iowa City. Soup Riot. I like that name. That's that's a really cool name. So they consist of Caleb Slater on vocals and guitars, Jada Garcia on drums, Brandon Fobble on bass, and Tom DeLonen on guitar. And really, I don't have much to say about this release other than it is just really well executed, kick-ass, melodic, gritty punk that is kind of on the verge of hardcore, but not quite there. It reminds me a lot of some of the bands that I used to listen to when I first started coming up and being exposed to like the sort of DIY house shows and things like that. A lot of bands were kind of coming through Iowa City and Davenport that I think really kind of had this sound. It's really anthemic. There's a lot of stuff on this record that I feel a lot of the fans of this band would probably be passionately screaming along to the vocals, to the lyrics. So catchy. And you know, if I mean, at 43, I'm super impressed with this, but if I was 18 or 19, this would totally be my jam, like 100%. And I would probably be, you know, catching them at every show that I possibly could. Caleb, excellent singer for this group. He's got a grittiness to his voice that, I don't know, like this kind of stuff always sort of tugged at my heartstrings. Like, I mean, it just really was like bands with this kind of sound. I believe them. It just sounds real, you know. It sounds like there's definitely like it's coming from like a real place. Yeah, it's excellent lyrics, excellent vocal delivery. There's not much I can say about the performances other than it's just super, super tight. Like, I mean, this is like really, really tight stuff. I don't know if they recorded it live or if they tracked it, but it's like almost perfect, just the way that the songs come out. And it's really quick because it's five songs, but it really just knocks you over. It's really energetic, really, really fast. And yeah, I mean, just honest. Yeah, I wish I could say more, but I mean, it's kind of left me sort of that speechless. Like, this is the kind of stuff, you know, that I kind of grew up on. And I'm glad to see that there are, you know, kids still sort of keeping this sort of sound alive. The stuff that this reminded me of right off the bat, Against Me, because it has that grittiness that Laura Jean Grace has in her vocals. And but also just extremely melodic and sing along, and you know, like I, you know, it's sort of on the verge of both hardcore and pop punk, I guess, is the best way that I could describe this stuff. Jawbreaker for a lot of the same reasons. Hot Water Music reminds me a little bit of Small Brown Bike, Lawrence Arms, The Broadways, Rancid. A little bit of like stuff like At the Drive-In that kind of creeps its way in here too, I think. Yeah, I think this is just really yet another impressive Iowa City punk band. And it's just awesome to see that punk rock is still alive and well in the IC. What did you think, Eric?
Soup Riot. I thought it was pretty awesome stuff. As you know, I don't have as much of a deep knowledge in this kind of music as you do. And so some of my takes are probably stupid, if not completely wrong, but I enjoyed it a lot, and I'll talk about what I enjoyed. But yeah, a little bit of grace would be appreciated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the way I described it was sort of like super melodic, screamo laced punk. I don't know if that even comes close, but I did find it to be melody based, but delivered in a, you know, a pretty yelly, screamy way. Again, not, I didn't feel it was aggressive, more just emotive. But yeah, I think there were some really fun deviations that happened too. Like, I feel like it kind of veered into folk / Celtic punk a little bit. I think there were moments of no wave and even goth in some of the guitar tones, effects, mood. But yeah, they cover a lot of different ground musically, even though I think it is pretty securely what it is. I think they still take a lot of chances. Like I said, the vocals also cover a lot of ground. They go from clean to screamy to yelling, but always melodic and always paying attention to that element of it. And I wouldn't say this is pop punk, but I think that focus on melody is something that is similar. But yeah, really great performances all around, super tight drums. The guitars are cool. They have some dirt on them, but I found that the cleanness of the tone to be unexpected and also really effective. It kept it from feeling kind of samey, which the stuff I've listened to that's similar, sometimes the guitars are just doing like a heavy distorted dissonant kind of sound, and that's what you get. I really enjoyed the bass playing. I felt like it was very free and like moving and just sort of propelled the songs, which is awesome. I would love to see this live. It's super high energy, so I'll have to keep my eyes out for that. But yeah, like I said, the things that I'm going to compare this to, I'm just an old man who has only dipped into a lot of the punk stuff after the 90s, or even during, kind of. So yeah, I heard things that reminded me of All, Bad Religion, Against Me, Face to Face. And I know that some of those might apply and some of them might be way off, but that's what I have to draw from in my toolbox. So yeah, I loved this. I thought it was super cool. And like I said, I can't wait to see it live.
I think all of those picks are absolutely 100% valid. Especially Face to Face. I didn't really think of that one.
Mm-hmm. I just thought vocally it was.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, 100%. But overall, Soup Riot is 100% like their own take on this, mm-hmm, this thing, you know?
And for sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Hey, so there is something that came up in the I'm now thinking of this now that it's the end of the show.
Yeah.
There was something that came up in the music world news that I thought was sort of, I guess, interesting. Are you familiar at all with the with Lizzo?
I know who Lizzo is. I haven't really listened to much of it though. No.
Yeah, well, yeah, and neither have I really. I mean, I've heard a couple of songs or whatever, but so apparently she posted that she quit, like that she's going to quit. Now, I don't know if that means she's going to quit music. I think that she kind of said that maybe things were becoming too toxic or something or whatever. I don't know what her reasoning was behind it. Do you think that right now the sort of like pop stars that become really big, do you think that it kind of happens like way faster today than it used to? Like there used to be kind of a buildup to like fame, you know? For example, like I'll just, you know, I'll think of like maybe perhaps arguably one of the world's biggest pop stars, Madonna, for instance. Like Madonna, when she first came out, and Lucky Star and Borderline were like her two singles, you know, she wasn't anywhere near the superstar that she was by the time, like say Like a Prayer came out, for instance, you know? But it sort of seems like there's this thing happening now where there's more instant fame that kind of occurs, I guess. And this is just an observation. I could be completely wrong about this. First of all, do you agree with that, Eric? Or do you think, I'm kind of missing the mark here? And then also, do you think that that plays a part in burnout? Like, do you think there's sort of like this pop star celebrity burnout that's happened? Because there's a lot of like artists that sort of seem to be kind of saying they're going to retire, you know, and then they never really do. They'll come back like 2 or 3 years later with something, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of hard to believe when somebody says, oh, I quit, or I'm going to retire in the music business, or, you know, in the celebrity business. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I think you're right, but I also think there may be a different explanation. So what I mean is, it feels like to me that yes, people are blowing up, right? And getting plunged into fame pretty quickly. But I also can see how that's the same as like one-hit wonders, you know, from all time periods of pop music, but especially in the 80s, I think like a band would, or an artist would go from basically being unheard to being humongous, like huge stars, like to the point that we still remember their names now, even though there's really no reason to, like Haja Goo Goo. There's no reason that name should be in my brain at all, you know? So, but I guess what I'm saying is I think that sort of instant fame has been there for a long time. To me, the difference is probably that you can score some extra longevity now because you can keep your presence alive, regardless of if they're playing your videos or playing your songs on the radio anymore. You still get to interact with your fans and put music out and promote yourself. So that part's kind of different, that you can maintain that fame a little bit more. But also I think people are in tune and comfortable with saying, you know, like for my mental health, like observing mental health as a reason to take a step back or make changes in what you're doing. Like, I think that's way more acceptable now than it ever has been. So I think that all your assessments are right, but I just think things have slightly changed, and that's where that change comes from, even though some of that existed before. I don't know.
That's a really good point. I didn't take into account that. Yeah, there are more people that are sort of keeping checks and balances. Part of it too, and a big difference from the one-hit wonders from the 80s, is that there's kind of a push, and I think this is kind of an example of where you could actually talk about the downside of streaming. There's a push for songwriters, musicians, artists to focus on almost everything but the actual music that is coming out from. It's almost like the music that, and I'm speaking more about, I think, a certain type of musician that is way more mainstream than a lot of the stuff that we're like, you know, used to listening to, like you and me are, you know, particularly. I think that there's more of a focus on everything else but the actual music because more people are streaming, especially when it comes to like, I'm assuming that more people who are into like pop music probably are more into streaming or just listening to the radio, because it used to be you had to buy a CD, and a lot of the people that were into pop music really only wanted that one song they heard on the radio. Well, now you can just get that one song on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, you know?
True.
So people aren't really buying these artists' full records. And so there has to be like a way for these artists to make more money. And that's where I do think streaming has hurt artists in some ways. And I think it may, ironically enough, I think it maybe hurts mainstream artists more in some ways, because that's what they're making a living off of. Someone like me, for instance, you know, I put my music on Spotify. I'm not expecting to get paid. I do wish that there was more, I guess, compensation for artists. But anyway, in the 1980s, Kajagoogoo, the example you used, for instance, the only thing they really had to go off of was their song. You know, was their music. Kajagoogoo wasn't having their own Happy Meals at McDonald's. I do think, and this is warning, kind of a boomer take here.
Boomer take.
But I do think that is maybe one way that you could argue, if you wanted to, that streaming services has maybe cheapened the value of music sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
It's more focused on other things besides just the music. And so a lot of times artists will focus more on these other endeavors than the actual music itself. People aren't really necessarily, I feel, sometimes going to pop artists for the music solely. It's more like a cult of personality, if you will.
For sure.
I think that's another big difference. I don't think that, with the exception, with a few exceptions like Michael Jackson and Madonna, the one-hit wonders weren't being made out to be these super big celebrities like they are now. Like, you know, you didn't see like Kajagoogoo or Flock of Seagulls like all over the place. You know what I mean? Duran Duran maybe at the time, you know? So that also makes me wonder if Madonna, Duran Duran, or Michael Jackson existed today, or was just getting started today. I wonder what their, I do wonder sometimes, like, I wonder about weird stuff like this. Like, what would the career arc be like today, you know?
It's way different. To me, it feels like when things were sort of controlled by radio and then subsequently MTV, there were, it was a smaller pool of people that rose to that level. So what I mean was, like, part of the reason the Beatles and the Stones and Michael Jackson and Madonna and things are so big is because, honestly, it feels like we had less exposure to, you know, all the artists. And now literally we have everything by everyone available to us at all times.
I mean, so
it's sort of watered. I don't want to say watered down, because I don't mean that. It's just sort of like diluted. You know, we just have so much music to pick through. I don't know if Michael Jackson would have been given the grace for the time between the Jackson 5 and his solo career. Like, I don't know if someone would have heard Lucky Star and been like, this is the future of music. Like, they might've been like, oh, that's a cool pop song or whatever. So it is hard to know what it would be like now for those artists. like impossible to know, really. I don't know. It's interesting because you do get more exposure. This is one thing about the whole Spotify like debate or whatever. I don't know if you're an artist that was never really going to survive from what you make on music, the exposure has value too, you know, like the fact that my music could be listened to. It's not obviously, but could be listened to by anyone on earth. That's insane. You know, to think about.
Well, we learned a lot today.
What did we learn
today? Well, we learned about how it was different back in the 90s again. And how it's we learned about records and music, like we always do with every episode. 2024, great year for music so far. That's what I learned.
We talked about the Toynbee tiles just for a second.
Oh yeah,
but everyone should check out. Great
documentary. It used to be on. That's kind of an old documentary, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I still watch it. Probably, I don't know. Every 6 weeks, I probably watch it.
Yeah, because it was on.
I really love it. Yeah,
it was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube now.
Yeah,
but mostly. I don't know where you can legit stream it, but.
Yeah,
it's great. Good stuff.
We talked about, I also want to kind of recommend something that we didn't talk about earlier, but that you mentioned in your assessment of the Northern Liberties. You talked about, you compared them to No Means No.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that totally makes sense also. I actually just acquired a book called From Obscurity to Oblivion. And it's the story of No Means No.
Wow, cool.
And I've been reading it, and I gotta tell you, man, I can't think of a better band that is, in my opinion, for me, would be the blueprint to of like the perfect way to operate a rock band, other than Fugazi, I would say, than No Means No. It just cool. Sounds like they were like some of the nicest people and still are to this day. And I just, that is just like, you don't hear that about many, you didn't hear that about David Lee Roth, you know, you didn't hear that about Gene Simmons.
No, if anything, they made sure to dust the coffee table. There was no white powder left anywhere in this house.
They made sure that, the M&Ms were separated by color.
Wow. But pretty good book, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's a great book.
But don't take my word for it. Man. All right. What do you think? Let's call it a day.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening, everybody. And if you want to throw any compliments, criticisms, or you just want to talk, or if you have anybody you'd like to recommend us review or talk about or interview or whatever, or if you are in a band that wants to be reviewed or interviewed, just send us an email, acceleratively.thrust@gmail.com, or you can message Accelerative Thrust through Instagram or Facebook.
And all that stuff.
All that nice stuff. So
wow,
we will be signing off for today.
Okay, bye. Wouldn't exist if it wasn't weird.